Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Dana Lyons, fund manager out of Chicago and editor and publisher of the Lion's Share Report. And Dana, it's always great to get your thoughts on the markets, the way you look at it with your quantitative analysis and technical analysis and canceling a lot of the noise is going to be much appreciated because there's so many news bulletins and headline-driven moves in the markets that it's nice to simplify things and just look at what is trending, what direction. And I just, with the regular markets, we have seen a corrective move really since the beginning of the year, but now there's been a recent bounce in the markets. I'm wondering, are you looking at this as a constructive bounce where maybe the markets could start to break out? Or are you worried that maybe it's just a relief rally in a larger correction?
Yeah, thanks, Shad. Our thoughts are that we did likely put in a low, a decent, solid, maybe intermediate term low, tested some key levels across most of the averages, held those levels, saw some adequate or sufficient, in some cases, bearish sentiment readings and internal washout type readings. Our thought and our work suggests that we're in a bear market now. So while this might be a low and could support a further rally, a further squeeze a little bit higher over the intermediate term, the bear market, if that is correct, the bear market thesis, then we should have further lows to come ahead after whatever sort of a squeeze or bounce that we have here. So, and that would fit with our observation that we haven't really seen if it's going to be a cyclical low in the market. We have not seen really adequate sentiment and internal pure total washout levels that we typically see to as evidence of pure capitulation. So we've seen some adequate evidence enough to support a decent bounce here. And they were seeing a little bit of technical progress being made in many averages, and which would support another further upside squeeze. And we're seeing the volatility indices, importantly, break below support, opening further downside in volatility, which would support a further squeeze in equities. But ultimately, once that is over, I think we do see the risk of testing those lows again eventually, and even putting in another down leg eventually before, you know, an ultimate cyclical low is put in place.
Well, then, Dana, in your estimation, is it a good time to have you put on long positions for the, I guess, the short to medium term, and then you would then put short positions on when you feel that this move has topped out? Is that the way you're playing it?
The way we always play it is we'll hold our longs that are still exhibiting relative strength as long as they don't break down. We've had some of our positions break down, bounce off of some key support levels over the last few days. Those positions that have broken down, a lot of the high growth tech type names that are bouncing the most because they got beaten down the most, those are the ones that we're selling or have sold into the rally over the last few days as they bounce up back towards like breakdown levels. The other positions that we're holding are still exhibiting relative strength. We'll hold those and basically trade in and out of hedges. So right now, got fairly low net and gross exposure on. We're just, for the most part, trading hedges. We did not buy aggressively at the lows the other day, but we did cover most of our hedges ahead of a potential bounce. So we'll look to put those hedges back on at the appropriate time. But for the most part, right now, we are getting rid of some of those former relative strength leaders that have broken down, and we don't anticipate them coming back into a leadership status. So we want to get rid of those and prepare our portfolio for the next wave higher and whatever the leadership might be at that point.
And then when you do eventually take a short position with those hedges, are you using options? Are you using inverse ETFs? Are you using other methods? How do you hedge when you are preparing for a move down in the markets?
Yeah, we use all ETFs at our firm. So we do use the inverse ETFs exclusively for hedging.
Okay. Well, something to keep an eye on. But for right now, we're getting a little bounce in the market. So best to ride that out. And like you said, maybe sell some of the positions that you want to unload into the strength while it's moving up. Another market that we should probably touch on after the Federal Reserve talked yesterday and we're seeing the first rate hike, go through in a series of what they say are 7 or 8 hikes is, you know, the interest rate market, the bond market. What do you make of it, and how are you playing the bonds currently?
Long term, we are very bearish on the bond market. We think rates have bottomed for probably decades to come. So we're seeing there's very consistent about 60-year cycle in interest rates, and it was due to bottom really a decade ago. But I think that 2020 low in bond yields was probably the low for the cycle. So if that's the case, then we're talking about years or even decades of higher move in interest rates. So that's the long term. In the short term, it's not going to be straight up. Obviously, you're going to have series of rallies and pullbacks, rallies and consolidation. So you certainly want to, and nothing's a buy and hold, nothing's a short and hold. So we've been short bonds for most of this year. Over the last few days, we're covering most of those shorts as the 10-year and 30-year yields are up into that zone of resistance that we've been looking for this wave of advance in the 10-year and the 30-year. So we're covering most of our shorts. We'll reload on another pullback in yield. So I think it's a good chance we've seen much of the rise in yields that we're going to see, at least for this move. But eventually, like I said, I think rates move much higher and for a long time.
Well, yeah, I think there's a very good possibility that the bond bubble has finally burst, and that after 30, 40 years of racing higher and higher, that those low yields 2 years ago probably marked the top in the bond. So an interesting call, Dana. Well, that makes me think of the U.S. dollar. When I think of interest rates, sometimes I think of the strength of the greenback. What are you looking at when you look at the U.S. dollar? It's had a nice move higher. Do you think it can keep going?
I think it can. Looking at the dollar, we thought it was a decent possibility that we're going to see a short term or an intermediate term top around 97.5, broke through there, which was a good cluster of a number of technical and charting resistance techniques right there, broke through that and consolidating there. Now, as long as we can hold decisively above that 97.5 level, I think the dollar could certainly continue to squeeze higher. And conversely, the euro breaking down, testing multi-year lows, I think after this dead cat bounce in the euro, there's a good chance the euro does break to new lows and it continues to drop in the intermediate term to new lows. So I would be certainly buying the dollar into dips as long as it holds that area, and be selling or shorting the euro into bounces.
Well, I know that you don't focus on the narrative at all, which is what we appreciate about you, Dana, but when I think of the dollar and bonds, I think of safe havens. And so I also think of gold, which is kind of the uncurrency. It's an uncorrelated asset, and it's kind of its own currency. It's 5,000 years been money. I'd love to get your thoughts on the recent roller coaster ride in gold. We had a big move higher just a week or two ago, almost hit the all-time high. Big pullback. Some people think that's some of the war premium coming out, but now a big reversal again, heading back higher. What do you make of gold, Dana? How are you playing it?
Playing it from the long side. We think we're very bullish on gold. I think the again, that rally in 2020 challenged those 2011 highs. The last 2 years or so has been basically a digestive pattern, digesting that rally we saw into the 2020 highs. I think we're getting set after testing. We tested those highs again now, I guess last week. Little pullback over the last few days or the last week was a good opportunity to buy into it. I think we're setting up for finally, you know, after moving sideways for the most part for a couple of years, I think there's enough fuel stored up into the market that it can sustain a breakout. So we're looking for a breakout to new all-time highs and a new sustainable run and another up leg in the bull market that started, you know, a decade or a couple of decades ago. But the rally that started in, what we call it, 2016. So we're looking for a major new up leg in gold, and along with it should go the gold miners. So we've been buying the gold and silver miners actually in this pullback over the last few days. Those look set up to break out to multi-year highs as well and put in another good upleg.
Well, I'm sure that our audience will like to hear that there's a long-term bullish thesis for gold and even for the mining stocks. Now, when you look at something taking out its all-time high, you know, in this case gold, but it could be any asset, do you have price targets, or do you do Fibonacci extensions, or do you look at where things could go? Or do you just look at the trend and the momentum and wait for it to change without having necessarily a price target?
No, we will use those Fibonacci extensions, like you mentioned, as partial profit-taking spots. You know, we won't wait for the trends to reverse totally to get out of it. We'll take some profits along the way, especially in markets now that don't seem to move. You know, they seem to, especially on breakouts and breakdowns, they're less predictable than they used to be. It used to be the case where you'd break out and that was a surefire buy signal and prices would run for a while. Now you get the breakout and then you pull back and you get the temporary false breakout and the shakeout, and then we resume a run higher. But I think there's more back and forth now in markets than there used to be. So we like to, as you mentioned, take profits along the way at those key Fib extensions, especially on the charts that adhere to those Fibonacci levels. Some charts adhere to them better than others. So the ones that are pretty tight in adhering to those Fib levels, we will definitely take profits along the way. And, you know, if it keeps going up, fine, we still got a position. If it reverses, we don't like to wait for a complete reversal in trend to take all our money out. We like to take some pockets and profits along the way.
Okay, well, that's good advice, and just was curious how you approached it. I guess we've talked about the dollar, we've talked about gold, we talked about bonds. Some people consider cryptocurrencies a safe haven. I'm less sure of that now after watching them get chopped in half right when we had the high inflation numbers come out, and that doesn't seem like a store of value action. But just from a speculative trading asset, how are you looking at the setup in Bitcoin or Ethereum? You know, are you bullish? Are you bearish?
Right. Well, like you mentioned, we've talked about this before. I don't like doing intermarket analysis because relationships between two markets are changing. Correlations are changing all the time. So you can't rely on that necessarily. It's like the dollar and then gold rallying at the same time, the one relationship that is most consistently or believed to be the most consistent from an inverse correlation basis is not holding true. So I don't like to rely on those intermarkets. So as cryptos as a safe haven, I don't buy it, but we will trade it and we do trade it based on technicals. And mentioned a second ago, markets that adhere to certain charting techniques, especially Fibonacci, the cryptos, for whatever reason, trade very reliably based on Fibonacci levels. So we have bought and sold and traded them for our clients. Right now, looking at Bitcoin and Ethereum especially, seem to be in a continuation pattern, kind of a consolidation pattern. We would love to see one more breakdown and one more down leg to the ultimate low before buying them at some long-term support and looking for that major reversal and perhaps a run to all-time highs. We'll see. But it looks like they have the potential for breaking down and one more swoosh lower to potential longer-term support. So specifically in terms of Bitcoin, we'd love to be able to buy it at about 29,000. On Ethereum, we'd love to buy it around 1,900.
Okay, well, thanks for providing those targets. I was wondering how far down that you thought they may swoosh. So I'm glad you gave us your swoosh targets.
yep.
One other sector we absolutely have to cover is the commodity sector. I mean, it has been wild, whether it's oil and nat gas, whether it's almost all the metals, all the agricultural commodities and soft commodities. Do you have any thoughts or outlooks on the commodity sector as a whole or individual components?
As a whole, yes, and individually, yes. So we're still buying the dips in commodities. We had perhaps a blow-off type top, you know, last week. It remains to be seen, though, that the burden of proof is still on the bears to prove that that was a blow-off top. Otherwise, we're still in an uptrend, and we like to buy into uptrends. We'll buy dips in uptrends. So oil held right at support yesterday. We're buying the metals, buying gold and silver and copper the other day into support, and we'll continue to buy the dips, looking for this uptrend to continue until proven otherwise. So grains, same thing, wheat and corn, we've been buying for a while. We'll continue to buy those until decisively until those uptrends are decisively broken. But for now, the uptrends are definitely in place. Like I said, was that potentially a blow off top? Yes, but right now we don't have enough evidence of that, so we'll continue buying them.
Well, and when you say a blow off top, do you believe that that's a short term blow off top where the commodities could, like, let's just pick oil, for example. Like, was that a short-term top at 129 or 130 where it would then correct back down? But do you still believe it could make a higher high eventually? Or do you, when you say a blow-off top, do you mean that you think that could be the high for a long time? How are you looking at that?
Yeah, either way. Right now, we're looking at as just a pullback in an uptrend. If it does break certain support levels in this pullback, then we can be convinced that, you know, the top is in, at least in the near term. Longer term, we can't make a statement on that yet. I think if you look at the long-term chart of most commodities, though, except for maybe nickel, which is goofy, they've been dormant for so long. I think there is enough fuel for a longer-term up move in most of the commodity markets. So I would not, even if we went through a long consolidation phase, like we talked about gold for the last 2 years has gone sideways. Never once did that break down and nullify that long-term uptrend. So I think that the same thing could be in effect in a lot of the commodities. We could see, you know, we've had a nice rally in many of them. And like you said, maybe they need a breather. Maybe they need to consolidate for a little bit. And even if short-term they're topped out, we might they might be in longer term bull markets. You might get another shot down the line at buying them at better levels, and not convinced yet that, you know, that any sort of a long term or secular bull market has topped out. So even if it's a short term top, it could be it could have many more legs to it down the line. Like again, considering the length of time that pretty much commodities have done nothing, lied dormant, and stored up fuel for this type of a breakout and more of a sustainable move higher.
Well, I appreciate you giving us your thoughts on the commodity sector. And yeah, I think that there's still room to run in the longer term for the commodity sector after really decades of underperformance. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this move gets digested by the market and where things go from here. But we will definitely be back in touch with you in a couple weeks to check in on the commodity sector and all of these markets, and appreciate getting your thoughts here on the KE Report, Dana. And if people like Dana's thoughts, definitely click on the link down below to the LineShare Pro website. You can check out Dana's services and check out the markets he covers. Does a great job of trading unemotionally and cutting the noise out of the market. So thanks for spending some time with us here on the show, Dana, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Sounds great, Chad. Always a pleasure.